Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And
thanks for being here today. I have our last installment of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's been quite the summer to go through all nine of these individually and allow them to speak to our lives. I'm so glad for the feedback that I've received week after week about this series. And the good thing is these days, hey, you can go back and listen to it again. And I heard somebody say last week, I might have to go back and hear that one again because I need that. So today we're going to talk about self-control. All of these fruits, though, how many know we need them all? Can't just pick and choose. It's like fruit salad, okay? We kind of need all of them and need to make sure that we have each of these in our lives. And what's been good about this, and I love the analogy of fruit, because hopefully what this series has allowed you to do and what today will allow you to do is be a fruit inspector. Now, not to other people so much, okay? Let me be clear about that. But for your own well-being, to just say, hey, where do I need to surrender more to the Holy Spirit, right? Because through this series, what we've said over and over and over again, they are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so you need the Holy Spirit's help in order to live out the love, the joy, the peace, and all the others. You need the Holy Spirit's help in order to accomplish each and every one of these day in, day out. So let's go back to our list. I'm so thankful that Paul put down for us in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and again, just evaluate yourself on where you're low in these, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So we don't get these from rules or laws. We get these from the Holy Spirit, because it's not about information. You know, some churches, we focus on information, but God wants us to focus on transformation, to be transformed by the power of His Holy Spirit. Proverbs talks about this, and it says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. I like how it illustrates that, like a city in ancient times, you needed the walls to protect you. And what the ancient writer says is when you don't have self-control, it's like your walls are down. And what that means is the enemy, how many know there's an enemy? Yes. Right? The enemy can just come into your life and mess with you. Has he been messing with anybody this week, you know, and messes with you. And so he says the more that you don't have self-control, then the more ability the enemy has to come in and out of your life. And maybe you've seen people and you've watched people and you've been like, oh, I saw what was coming, right? You know, because you knew their walls were down. You knew that they were vulnerable. Or maybe in your own life you've seen that. I heard about a dad that was shopping with his little boy in the grocery store. And they were going down each and every aisle. Little boy is about 2 or 3 years old. And he was just screaming and wanting everything in the store and kind of throwing a fit. And so as he was pushing the stroller, the buggy, he says, Albert, just calm down. It's going to be okay. And then he went to the next time. Well, this lady started watching him. He was just softly, subtly just speak and whisper and just say, Albert, just be calm. It's okay. You're going to be all right. We're going to get out of here soon. And in aisle after aisle, she noticed this. Finally, at the checkout, she noticed the little boy was just wanting everything up at the front. And as that was happening, he said once again, "Albert, it's going to be okay. We're almost out of the store." And he gets out to the parking lot. The lady can't help herself. She goes over and says, "Hey, fella, I just wanted to say what an awesome dad you are. I noticed how you spoke so gently to little Albert while you were in the store." And he says, "My dear lady, I'm Albert." How many know you got to sometimes, you know, just talk to yourself, right? Without self-control, listen, talents get wasted, opportunities get sabotaged, and relationships get damaged. We all want this fruit. But the problem is, as I mentioned with the wall situation, there's a battle going on. There's a battle within. And the good news is the Bible doesn't ignore this battle, this tug of war that goes on. And as a matter of fact, one of the most prolific authors of Scripture, a man who wrote over half of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, wrote about this in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. He says it this way: "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it." How many see yourselves in this scripture already? "Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin that's alive in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart." So he says, it's not a problem that I don't want to do it. "But there is another power." Boy, this explains a lot of things, doesn't it? "There is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" He says this lack of self-control can lead us to shame and hopelessness. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I can't believe I did it again. I swore I wouldn't do that. Or here we are in these 21 days of prayer. I couldn't even quit for 21 days. I couldn't even stop this. I couldn't, you know, and what happens is, and that's why I love how Paul follows this up. In the 8th chapter of Romans, he talks about there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because how many know feeling bad about what you did is not enough? Right? You beat yourself up and, you know, "I'm just a terrible person." And that's kind of how Paul's talking here. And on sometimes what happens is then we succumb to that identity and we just say, "Well, you know, I guess this is how I'm going to be. You know, dad was angry and his dad was angry. So therefore, I have anger issues. And what happens is, whether it's anger or some other issue, we just slap a label on. And I want to say to somebody today, in the name of Jesus, take the label off. Now, how are we going to do this? And so I want to help you so that you don't have to give in, because what happens is we give in to our emotions, and some of us can even get defensive right now and say, well, Craig, I've tried a lot of stuff. I've tried a lot of things, and I get that, and I'm sorry that none of it seemed to have worked, but I want you to know your feelings of how you feel about whatever, you have to and you need to submit your feelings to God, because you are more than your feelings. You're more than anger. You're more than just an angry person. That's not who you are. You may have anger in you, but that's not who you are. You are a child of the living God, and you don't have to stay like that. And here's how to put this into practice. Let me say it this way. Choices first, and then feelings follow. Think about that. Choices first, and then feelings follow. So we submit our feelings to God. We begin to lose our lives if we don't. We succumb to just our feelings, and we become our feelings. And it's like, I want to do this, or I want to do that. And then what happens is we give in to self-medication then, often. Maybe it's alcohol for somebody. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's spending. Maybe it's just endless hours of scrolling on social media or binge watching or television. Whatever it is, I want you to know, Satan's goal is to offer you a substitute. Not the true remedy for reaching your full potential in Christ. So Paul says in verse 24, let's read it again. Who is going to free me from this? But look at verse 25. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ. That there is, I just want somebody to know, there is an answer. There is a power that is greater than your addiction. There is a power greater than your habit. There is a power that can raise the dead. Come on, somebody. That's more power than any of us can even comprehend. So the truth is, there is power in Jesus. And here's even better news. He's wanting to give you that power. He wants to share his power with you and enable you to live in the way you were meant to live. Don't you want to live that way? Don't you want to be the dad you wish you were? You know, the husband you wish you were, the wife you wish you were, the boss you wish you were, the employee, the friend, whoever it is. Don't you wish you were? Well, the Spirit of God can help us to do that, because when the Spirit is in control, life is in control. Life is in control. So how do we become more self-controlled? There's a few things that maybe at least you want to write down today. The first one is, it's a fruit, not a force. Okay? It's not let the force be with you, all right? It's the fruit, okay? We've even got sound effects in this service. I don't know if I'll have that in the second service, but we got it in this one. All right, the Greek word for this is definition is inner strength or mastery within. See, it's not mastery on the outside. It's mastery within. It's power within. In other words, You don't produce self-control by gritting your teeth. You produce it, you bear it by abiding in Christ. And I'll prove it to you. John 15, 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Jesus is talking about, you got to be attached to me. Yeah, I'm the vine, you're the branches. This is where he talks about that. And you get your life flow from me. I'm the one pouring into you. You don't do it on your own. So in that case, what we need to do is stop trying harder and start abiding deeper. Start abiding deeper. Self-control is the fruit of God's power working in me. And what it does when it's working in me, it helps me do what I want to do. And it helps me not do what I know I shouldn't do, so I can have the life I want to have in the future. And so we've talked about this before. A biblical term to be able to have a turnaround in your life is the word repent. It's repeated over and over through Scripture. And repent simply means a 180. It's to turn, it's to change your life by changing your thinking. So you have to change your thinking. You change your direction. And in other words, you say, God, what do you say about this topic? And then after you hear what God says about it, then you say, well, then it doesn't matter what social media says. It doesn't matter what somebody else says, what my friends say. It matters what God says. So therefore, it may not be popular, but I'm going to do what God declares over my life. And I'm going to practice that in my life. And what you're doing is you're repenting, you're turning in God's direction. And when you turn in God's direction, you get God's power flowing in your life. Make sense? So here's the next thing, is it's rooted in love, not law. It's rooted in love, not law. So because it's about love, here's what I want to challenge you to do, church, more than anything else, is fall in love with Jesus. Just head over heels in love with Jesus. That Jesus died for you, rose from the dead. We just had communion earlier commemorating that, but you just can't get over it. How many can't get over it? You know, don't want to get over it. Every day, just thankful for Jesus. And it's kind of that way in the natural. The more I love Rochelle, the more I'm loving Rochelle, the less I'm tempted by anything else. There's nothing else then that gets into focus because she's in my focus. Do you see that? And so when you make Jesus your focus, then it's not about learning to be religious. It's not about following rules. It's about being transformed by love on the inside. See, I love Rochelle so much, I'm not going to do something that will mess that up. See, and the more I think that way, the less likely I am to stumble. And the same thing with God. When we just love Jesus so much, the less we're going to stumble. The less we're going to mess up. We're going to do the things we want to. Because when you love God with all your heart, when you are head over heels for Jesus, listen, your want to changes. John 14, 15 says it like this. If you love me, you will obey what I command. There are two types of Christians. Just keep that verse up for me. There are Christians who live on the right side of the comma. And they read this verse, you will obey. Right? You will obey. naughty. Don't be naughty. Don't be bad. This week, come on, get out there and you obey. And the problem is that's on the wrong side of the comma. See, if we'll live on the left side of the comma and just focus on love, Lord, let me just love you today. Let me just express my love to you. Let me just tell you how much I love you because of what you've done in my life. You mean more to me than anyone else. There's nothing else I want in life more than you. If I live on that side of the comma, how many know the other side of the comma will take care of itself? Does that make sense? And so today, what I want you to do is focus on that side. Which side of the comma are you on? All right, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." It teaches us. Notice this, God's grace, that God didn't give me what I deserved. He gave me what I needed. It teaches us to say no. Everybody say no. That's what it says. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live, notice this, here's our word, self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. He says if we'll get this right, then what'll happen is we'll just be able to say no. No, that's less than what God has for me. That's not what God has for me. God has better things for me. Come on, somebody. He has great things in store for me. He has a great plan for my life. And I'm not going to stoop. I'm not going to step down to something less than what God has for me. In other words, passion leads to pursuit. See, if we have a passion for Jesus, if we have a love for God, then we're going to pursue the things of God. And here's the last thing, is it's lived out in habits. It's lived out in habits. So it's rooted in love, not law, but it's lived out in habits. The world says freedom is doing whatever you want, whenever you want, right? But how many know that doesn't really lead to freedom? That can lead to bondage. I was just going to the store this week for something. A member of our family was trying to make something and realized we didn't have one of the ingredients. Has anybody ever been there? And we needed one more ingredient. And so I was voted to go to the store and get the one ingredient. And I thought, I can do this. I can do this. And so I went to the store and I grabbed the one ingredient that we needed that was all the way in the back of the store. And so I had to walk through all the stuff that's in the store and walk back through all the stuff that was in the store. And I got up to the front. I was trying to hurry, because I knew if I stayed in there too long, I might see something else, right? And so I'm trying to get to self-check as fast as I can with this thing in my hand. And this guy gets in front of me, and I thought, oh, okay. And so then he went over to one. But I noticed before he ever rang the one or two items out that he had in his hand, he looked, grabbed a pack of gum, and scanned it. And I was so proud of myself because I didn't scan any gum or anything else, and I got out of there. But how many know those are impulse items, right? There's a reason that it's not just thank you for shopping at Kroger up there or whatever. And no, we'll tell you that after you're about halfway out to the parking lot, maybe, you know. We're not going to tell you that up here when you could grab something else. What we're going to do is stack it. I've been to one store. How many know it's the tunnel of impulse, right? You got to kind of go through this tunnel of impulse before you can even get to the checkout because there's so many things that maybe you need. And it's kind of like also, you know, how many know you don't go to the store hungry either because everything looks good. And it's impulse. And what happens is maybe you didn't even need to spend that money. I mean, there's been times in my life where I bought something just because I thought, yeah, I need that. I didn't even know they made that until I got here. But now that I see that they make such a thing, how can I live without such a thing? And so I need to buy that and then get it home and think, what did I do that for? Anybody with me on that? Don't leave me up here by myself today, right? So we all can be in that. And what that means is it's not really free. It's not freeing to do whatever I want, whenever I want. That's a good way to get in debt, right? It's a good way to gain 50 pounds too, you know? It's a good way to have all kinds of things happen in your life. 1 Corinthians talks about this. And in verse 27, here's what Paul says. So to avoid the tunnel of impulse, here's what I do. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, here's my concern. I fear that after preaching to others, I myself, what? You, Paul? The Apostle Paul? I might be disqualified. Paul says, I'm concerned that even though I've started churches and I've planted, you know, the ministry of Jesus all around the then known world and all, I might mess up myself. So here's what I do. I have to make sure that I'm practicing what I preach. And what he says is self-control points people to Jesus. In other words, when you say no to the world and yes to God, it's a testimony to your neighbor. It's a testimony to your coworkers. And what it says to them is that the power of the Holy Spirit is real. And some of you are on display all the time because you used to be a drug addict, and now you're not. Some of you used to be an alcoholic. I know people in this church that were alcoholics for years, but they're not anymore. They've been free for years. And they're a living testimony to their family. They're a living testimony to coworkers. They're a living testimony to everybody around that the power of the Holy Spirit is real, that Jesus must be alive, because there's just no other explanation for why this guy isn't still drinking, because I used to know him then. I used to know how he lived, and I see that there's a change. He's overcome. And so what we're talking about, it's the lifestyle of a disciple. A disciple of Jesus. Part of discipline is disciple. And what being a disciple is you've disciplined your body, Paul says, like an athlete. An athlete can't just eat whatever they want. They can't just get up whenever they want. They can't just go to bed whenever they want. They don't allow that because they live for a higher purpose. Of what they've deemed to be a higher purpose. And these other things will take away from that. So you can't just sit at the bar and say, I am not going to drink. You know? You can't slowly go through the tunnel of impulse and looking around. Or you're going to spend more money than you wanted. And so what we need today, let me be clear, you need more than a sermon. because a sermon can inspire you, but what you must do is you must go out of this place and walk it out. You have to walk it out. And that's what being a disciple is. Look at this. One more verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul says, so I say, here's what he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He says, it's not go down front and get prayed over by the pastor, and then you'll never look at porn again. You'll never drink again. You'll never smoke dope again. You'll never whatever again. You'll be the most fit person in your family, you know? How many be lined up today, right? If that's how it worked. But he says, here's what you got to do. He uses this term here, so I say, walk by the Spirit. That word walk in the original means a habitual way of life. Habitual way of life. So, how do I quit being so angry? How do I quit being so addicted? How do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do, and then I don't do the things I do want to do? How do I do that? Let me give you four things that you can walk out of here with and put into practice, and I believe they'll profoundly impact your life. The first one is over here, worship. Worship God. Have an encounter with the living God every day. How many know there's something powerful about when we come in here and worship, right? Some of you, you just kind of live for Sunday. Oh, Lord, it's Friday. God, help me get to Sunday, you know? Why? Because that's the day that you come in here and you forget everything else and you worship God. What if you did that on Monday? What if you just had a time tomorrow? Again, we're in our 21 days of prayer. It makes it so easy. The building's open from 6 to 6, and you can just come in. There's worship music playing, and you can just have your own worship time. And just say, Lord, yesterday was good, but I need some more today. I need to get in your presence today. I need to forget about all my stress. I need to forget about all my habits. I need to forget about everything else. And I just need to connect with you. Because in worship, we get to know God and we get to experience God. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's called discipleship, all right? And here's the second thing. Is we connect. You know, these are on the wall for a reason. We believe these things. I believe if you will connect with other people relationally, it will help you walk in freedom. That it will help you. That if you'll get in a group of people and talk about the things that we talked about today, if you'll talk about it again instead of, oh, that was good. Oh, I was wondering, oh, that changed my life. And Tuesday, I come up to you and say, hey, what was your favorite part of the sermon? And you say, let's see. It was all good. It's just so good. It was so much of it was so good. I just don't know what to pick, all right? You know, because we forget things. And so it's good to be reminded of things. And when you get in a group, a small group, that's why we talk about authentic life groups, getting together with other believers, getting connected with them, and allowing the Spirit of God to help make it real in your life. And here's the next thing, is we need to serve. You need to serve. You need to serve other people. Jesus said of himself, I didn't even come to be served. I came to serve. And so when we serve others, we find our purpose. And that's what we want you to do is when you find your purpose. See, and here's what some people have done. they've been victims of divorce, and they've been maybe the cause of a divorce, or they've been at least part of it, and all, and now they teach divorce care. And they use what they've experienced to heal other people. Same thing with grief share, same thing with other things in the church. You turn it around, take what the enemy would mean for harm, and turn it out for good. And some of you don't know your giftedness. You haven't leveraged that and gotten involved. And when you get on a team and serve, it's just even more fun, right? Come on, somebody. Yeah. And that's the reason why we have Growth Track every month. Starts at the beginning of a month, through the month. Second service, it's available to you to help you to know where you fit. And here's the last one is we need to share. We need to share. We need to make a difference with our lives. One, the world needs you. The world needs you to make a difference. They need Jesus to show up at work through you. Your school needs Jesus, and the way they'll see him is you walking the halls, you demonstrating, you living it out. So how do we do that? We surrender our time, talent, treasure to making a difference, how we say it, across the street and across the world. Now here, I'm going to give you one more tool, okay? And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how people do rubber bands. Anybody see these? You know? And so whenever they're going to overeat, or whenever they're getting ready to get a cigarette back out, or whatever it is, they just, you know. And it's like, oh, you know, don't do that. And it's a reminder to them. So I thought we could give everybody a rubber band today, but you can get your own rubber band. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you something nicer. We're going to give you a keychain today to commemorate this 9-week series, and it's just a one of those fruit juice boxes, okay, juice box, and it says fruit of the spirit, and every time you get your keys out from your purse or your wallet, say, Lord, help me to have the fruit of the spirit today. Lord, help me today. And some of you, it'll be a little too late, you know. How many know? You know, it'll be like, oh, yeah, I already said that back there or whatever. So what you may have to do is go back and just say, hey, before I go to lunch today, I know I was a little short back there. I displayed a little bit of attitude, I think. And I just want you to know I'm sorry for that. That came from a place that's not me. And I just need you to forgive me. When's the last time somebody did that at work or at school or in your neighborhood? And so today, just take those with you. Make it a prayer prompter in your life. And here's the last thing is what step do you need to take today? What step do you need to take? What is it that you need to do today to enable the fruit of the Holy Spirit? I know one big one for all of us is to surrender more. Just surrender more. So can we do that right now with hands raised? Just say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you once again. Oh, how I need you. Oh, I need you. I need you 24/7, God. Our world needs love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. It needs all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, We surrender to you. Maybe today is the one that you need to hear the most. Maybe it's self-control. Maybe there's areas where your habits try to take over. Maybe your temper wants to flare. Maybe your appetites for things, your spending, your relationships. Maybe there's an area in your life, your tongue, that you just need more self-control. Would you be honest enough today, church family, that if there's an area in your life where you need more Holy Spirit power, more self-control, would you just slip up a hand? Yeah, that's it. Oh yeah, that's good. That already feels good, doesn't it? Just to reach up to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, today, would you just help those who are reaching up to you? Like Paul said, there's times where we want to do right, but we don't do it. And then we don't want to do something, and we do it, and then vice versa. And so, Holy Spirit, would you take the wheel today? Holy Spirit, would you be the main driver in our lives? Help us to get out of the way so that you can lead. And Holy Spirit, would you lead us into freedom? We know that's where you lead. And if we'll follow you, we'll start living in more freedom and more freedom and more freedom. And so, Holy Spirit, help us every day. Maybe when we're looking at that keychain, and we'll just say, I surrender. I need you, Holy Spirit. Let that fruit come in me. God, I pray that you'll use us to exemplify to our community what a surrendered life looks like. Maybe others of you are here, and while we're praying, maybe the Holy Spirit's drawing you. He's drawing you to Jesus. And maybe you're a person that you would admit, hey, I have messed up. I have done some things I wish I wouldn't have done. And I'm just telling you that God is a God who forgives. He is also a God who restores. And if in your life you've walked away from him and you've tried to be your own God, you tried to do your own things and whatever, and that kind of blew up in your face and different things like that. Maybe that's even why you're here today at church. It's just because it's gotten so bad that now you don't know what else to do, and you're here today. And I just want to commend you for that. And if you are here this morning and you say, I need God's help in my life, and if he could forgive me of what I've done in the past and give me a fresh start today, I want that with the living God. If that's your prayer, would you just raise a hand all over this room? Yeah, just raise it up. Yeah, that's it. Just raise it up. God's about to change some lives today. Online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. Come on, let's pray this prayer. Pray it after me, all of you, so that no one prays alone. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for all sin, and that includes mine. From this day forward, as much as I know how, I surrender all to you. Come into my life and help me be all you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church family, let's celebrate those who invited God in today through the power of his Holy Spirit. God's going to start working in you. We want to help you. On the screen are next steps that you can text from wherever you are. And you can just text that, hey, I want to get baptized. We've had a bunch of people recently saying they want to get baptized. And we got another baptism that'll be coming up. So we'd love to help you to be able to do that, or if it's get in a small group, even before we have our life group fair or whatever it is, we'd love to help you with that. Also, on the back side of your connection card, or on the front side, I think it is, there are two boxes that say, I'm committing my life to Christ. And another box says, I'm recommitting my life to Christ. You can check whichever one pertains to you. And I think it was just last week we had 9 people that checked one of those 2 boxes. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. That's Heaven gets excited about that like nothing else. And that excites me too. So that's awesome. And we have a Next Steps room that's right across the hall, and an elder will be over there that you can talk to about any of these things. You can talk to them about life groups. You can talk to them about baptism or whatever else. Let's stand to our feet. I need to make an announcement today before we leave. Prayer partners, go ahead and come forward and get in place. But I need to let you know, as a church family, that Matt Lima resigned from position of kids pastor of our church a week ago, and came to me and resigned that position. And so we are going to, of course, be looking for a new kids pastor. But in the meantime, next Sunday will be his last official Sunday with us. And so we want to honor Matt for, listen, 7 years of serving this church family. So we want to honor him for that and the impact that he's had on our church. So I'm going to pray about that as we conclude. But if you have a prayer need of any kind today, don't leave without receiving the prayer that you need today. And these folks would love to pray with you and pray for you. Let's pray. Father, help us today to really put this into practice. We pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit working in us and us doing our part, that we will walk this out, that we will walk out of here walking the walk of faith that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for Matt and his ministry at this church. We pray that next week as we honor him, they'll be honorable to you as well. We pray you'll lead, guide, and direct our church and what our next step is as well. We know you have everything under control in heaven. So we pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now, Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer down to receive the prayer they need, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.